Good morning, church. On Monday, I had a conversation with my mom, and we're phoning, and usually I call around bath time or bedtime for the kids, because that with the time difference in California, that's the best time that we could kind of, everybody's awake and everything like that. So thankfully, Livy was home, and she was bathing the kids, and I prepped my, you know, did all the catch-up bits with my mom just before the craziness of the kids came through. But as I was speaking with my mom, I noticed something was different. She wasn't engaging in conversation as much, and she seemed distracted. And so I asked her, I said, "Mom, what's going on? You know, tell me." And classic answer, "Oh, everything's okay. We'll be okay. We'll get through it. I don't want to burden you. You already have so much on your plate. You know, don't worry about it." And but it just, you know, it's one of those things in which I just thought, no, I gotta, there's something up here. It just felt different. So she kind of filled me in on what was going on, and she just shared a difficult situation that my oldest brother has found himself in. And so the rest of the conversation was talking about the next steps that we take as a family. How do we support him? How do we love him? How do we get through this together? And despite me being in the UK, what can we do? But we prayed through everything, and you know, we, again, don't know what the next steps are, but we're trying to figure that out. But after our conversation ended, I couldn't help but start thinking about my life growing up with my brothers. I couldn't help thinking of the lessons that they try to teach me. Some of these lessons they try to teach me were, men don't ask for help. Some of the lessons they taught me is asking for help is weakness. Showing emotion is weakness. If you want to be a man, Sammy, you got to do it on your own. You can't accept any help. And you could obviously see how these messages being taught to me at such a young age and growing up would have negative effects on the way I saw life, how I viewed other people, how I treated other people. But in my late teens, when I became a Christian at the age of 19, I praise God that His Holy Spirit has entered into my heart and started to transform me into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And a lot of my old ways had passed away, but there was still this seed of men don't ask for help. It's weakness. Don't show any emotion. And it wasn't until at my time where I was studying at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago where I met someone who became a very close friend, someone who I would consider a brother. And I remember him, you know, in this, you know, he's a very gentle guy, very in tune with his emotions, a lot more emotionally mature than I am. But I remember that one day he pulled me aside, and in that, in, you know, I was in the semester where it was incredibly difficult, right? I think my grandfather had just passed away. My workload at school, I had loads of readings, papers, and things that weighed heavily on my grade that was quite stressful. But the church I was interning for at the time was really difficult to serve, and there was a lot of drama there. And so in all of this, again, my mindset was, no, you know, I remember what my brothers taught me. Sammy, if you're going through a hard time or something happens, you have two choices. You can either sit there and cry about it like a baby, or you can man up and do something about it. And so in my mind, I'm thinking that whole mindset. And so I'm having this difficult season in my life. The semester is very, very difficult. And again, I just do what I usually do. Put my head down, get through it. Don't ask for help. Don't show emotion. And throughout this semester, people who loved me and cared for me, they checked in and go, "Sammy, you okay? You okay?" And I would just, again, say, "Everything's fine. I am okay. You don't have to worry about me. Save your prayers for someone else." But my brother, JP, my friend JP, he pulled me aside and said, "Sammy, how are you really doing?" And I told him, "Oh, you know what? Actually, I'm doing much better. Last semester was really tough. I was facing all of these things, and it was a difficult time." And a lot of this stuff he already had a glimpse of, but I told him, "Yeah, JP, I'm doing much better. Thanks for asking." And again, JP's he's a gentle guy. But he did something in which I think, obviously, through the power of the Holy Spirit, really transformed the way I looked at life. And he did something out of the ordinary. He called me out. And he rebuked me. And it was one of those things where I was just, you know, if that had happened in any other circumstance in my life, my pride would have taken over. As a man, I'm not going to let anyone talk to me like that, right? And push back and all these things. But in that moment, it was so shocking. And he called me out. And some of the things that he said in his rebuke to me was that this is not a healthy way for anyone to deal with their issues. We aren't meant to go through hardships alone. We aren't meant to live life on our own. You can't bottle up all of these things and expect to live a healthy life. You can't expect to get through anything with this kind of mindset. He told me how unhealthy that was. Then he told me how Christians are called to live together, how we are a community, how we are a family, how we are one unit, one body in Christ, and that we shouldn't be keeping each other at arm's length, but that we ought to be one, to care for one another, to love one another, to serve one another. And the last point that really stuck out to me was more personal for him. But I remember these words so clearly because the Holy Spirit used these words to pierce my callous, hardened heart. And he said, "Sammy, lastly, you have robbed me of an opportunity to love you. You have robbed me of an opportunity to serve you, to walk life with you, to mourn with you, to find joy in you coming out of that difficult situation. You have robbed me of that." And again, the Holy Spirit took those words and transformed my mindset. He transformed my thoughts. He transformed the way I started to view the body of Christ. At the time, again, I was a believer. So in my mind, I knew all of these things. We are one body. We are one family. Serve one another. Fulfill the one another's. But in my heart, it was still seated in these truths that I thought men had to think like. But the Holy Spirit released me from that kind of thinking. He transformed the way I viewed people. To this day, I still struggle with a lot of the things that you know, I grew up with. Even to this day, I find it difficult to trust people because I've been around people and I've done so many things in my life and so many things have been done to me in which it's hard for me to trust people. Because I've had things used against me. I've had people turn their backs on me. I've had people stab me in the back. And still the Holy Spirit works within me in those regards. But still, those points that he made to call me out transform me. I get it. I think all of us in this room can relate to what I've been through in some way or another, maybe even more extreme, or maybe not. But I get it. To some degree, we all don't want to ask for help. To some degree, we think that we got to get through this together. There are so many reasons why we might not share what's going on in our lives. We might be afraid. I think the one I hear the most is that, you know, I don't want to overwhelm people with my problems. I don't want to overwhelm anyone with what's going on in my life. So I don't want to share it. Everything's fine. Everything's good. Or maybe we might be ashamed. Maybe we've made some terrible choices or decisions that are negatively affecting our lives. Or maybe it's a sin issue, something that you've been struggling with, but are ashamed to admit it to someone else. Or maybe we're also afraid to be vulnerable. I think everyone in this room can probably relate to sharing something in trust and confidence with someone, and that person taking that and using it against us or sharing it with other people, and that trust being shattered and broken. And it hurts when it's used against us. It's hurt when our trust and our confidence is broken. But we must break free from these thoughts. We must break away from it, because I think in our sinful nature, it's natural for us to close ourselves off to other people. We want to protect ourselves. We want to make sure that we are okay. And so we keep everybody away. But what the teacher here in Ecclesiastes is trying to say in these verses, and we can't go through all of the book, I would love to one day, but one of the main points that the teacher here is trying to make is that life is a paradox. Life is a mystery. And we have to navigate through it. There are a lot of unanswered questions. There are a lot of questions that we have that we don't know the answers to. And life is hard enough as it is. But the teacher is showing us that we must get through it together. One of the phrases said in that's repeated throughout this book is, right, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless under the sun, right? We've heard that, or vanity. But the teacher isn't saying that it's not the right word to use. It's not like what's the point then, whatever. No, this word meaningless or vanity that we have translated into, he's talking about how life is temporary and that life is a mystery. Bad things happen to good people, and somehow bad people seem to have so much success and live long lives. And what's going on here? The image here being shown in this book is that it's like smoke. You can see it, and it's visible. But once you go out to grasp it, it disperses, it disappears. That image pointing to a lot of hardships, that there's a lot of beauty and goodness in life. There's a lot to celebrate. But when we go in to enjoy it, tragedy strikes. What is that about? But the teacher, through this book, goes to break down and deconstruct all of the ways we try to find meaning and purpose in life apart from God. He says it again. Two are better than one. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Life is difficult enough as it is. But the teacher is saying, if you want to get through it, if you want to get through it, you cannot do it alone. Go together. Why then? Why must we share our burdens? Why must we carry one another's burdens? Why must we do these things? I think the first point I want to make is that because we were created to be in community. We are created to share these things together. If you follow the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, as God creates all these things, he says, it is good, it is good, it is good. When he creates man, mankind, he says, it is very good. But in all of that creation, what's the first time God says it is not good? When he says, for man to be alone. So God created a companion, a partner for Adam. He created someone to walk life with, to work with, to partner with, to multiply with, to reign with, to participate with. We were created to be together. We were created to carry one another's burdens. The second reason why we ought to share what we're going through as a community is because it's the law of Christ. It is the law of Christ that we as believers carry one another's burdens. In John chapter 13, 34, we also see Jesus teaching his disciples to love one another as you have been loved. by God. To care for one another, to carry each other's burdens, this is the law of Christ. We were created to carry one another's burdens, and we are commanded to do so. So, brothers and sisters, I want to either challenge you or encourage you to lighten your load. Lighten your load. We all carry these burdens. We carry all this baggage. And for some reason, we think we got to do it on our own. Lighten your load. Let someone help you. Let someone walk with you. Let someone carry it with you. Brothers and sisters, find trusted friends. Lynn talked about it last week when she mentioned life groups, where you come together with trusted brothers or sisters and you pray together. In the same breath, walk life together, journey together, carry one another's burdens together. Older brothers and sisters, allow the younger to help you, to serve you, to bless you. I know for many reasons, you know, or let me take a step back. We're not questioning your ability to do things, okay? Or your capacity or anything like that. But allow the younger to bless you. My friend, my same friend JP, he took me out to lunch once, and as a Korean, I mean, Livy will attest to this as well, but as a Korean, we always have to pay, right? We always have to bless you, right? We don't want to owe anyone, so it's like, I'll pay. And so John and I were out to lunch, and I was like, oh, I'll pay, you know? And even further to the story, to the point, I remember when I brought Livy back home to meet with, you know, my side of the family. And, you know, we had this Korean meal, the Korean dinner, and it was time to pay, right? And so my dad gets up, he starts walking over to the till to give his payment and everything like that. And my auntie, she zones in and knows he's going to pay. So she gets up, right? She's like, oh, I'm going. And then my mom is small, but she is strong, right? And she just death grips my auntie's wrist and goes, no, you are staying here, right? And so my auntie then death grips her wrist, and then they start wrestling. And my mom then, you know, like, and then like headlocks her and brings her down to the ground. And my dad pays, right? That's where we're looking at here, right? This is the Korean mindset towards blessing. So I'm with my buddy JP, and I'm about to do the same thing, right? We're about to fight in this fast food place, you know, let me pay. But again, he rebuked me. Well, maybe he does rebuke me a lot more than I think. But he called me out and said this. He said, Sammy, you got to learn how to be blessed. Let me bless you, because you can't always just be the one blessing. Let me bless you. Receive that. So my older brothers and sisters, I encourage you, and maybe even challenge you. Let some of our younger brothers and sisters bless you, love you, and serve you, care for you, if need be. And younger brothers and sisters, seek out the wisdom and experience of our older brothers and sisters in this room. You understand the blessing that our multi-generational church, that we are a multi-generational church? Do you know how many churches right now are struggling to have such diversity in their churches? Yet here we are, blessed to have babies and beyond. Thank you. Yeah, that was a... Whew. I gotta end this before I get myself into some trouble. But hear my words, all right? Hear my words. Seek out. There's nothing wrong with seeking help. There's nothing wrong with seeking advice. It's okay not to know everything. It's okay to make mistakes. We all will, no matter if culture and the world around us is telling us, you got to have everything together, you can't ask for help. Seek out the wisdom of older brothers and sisters and let them give you, allow them to bless you in that way. Lighten your load. Carry one another's burdens. And, you know, we're going to take communion. And what I want to do is just wrap up with a couple of notes about communion. And then I'll invite the praise team up and we'll partake of the bread and the wine. If today in this room, you feel like you are a burden, If today in this room, you feel like you don't want to overwhelm your fellow brother or sister, if you are in this room today and you are feeling like you are a burden, remember Jesus. Remember how he has taken your burden. Remember, as we take that bread and that wine, representing the broken body and blood of Jesus Christ, to carry you, to love you, to serve you, to walk life with you. Remember, you are not a burden. But Jesus joyfully took that upon himself so that we can have life, so that we can have union with him. My challenge to you in this room, if you think of others as a burden, if you are run down and tired and thinking of others as burdens, remember Jesus and how he had taken your burden, your eternal burden, the weight of all of that upon himself with great joy. Remember him. And if you don't know Jesus or received him into your heart or call upon his name as your Savior, know that this is what communion is all about. That Jesus has taken our greatest burden, our greatest sins, everything, for even John's sins, you know, everything. He has taken that upon himself so that you can have life, so that you can be redeemed, so that you can be loved and reunited with him. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you do not know who Jesus is, he offers you life. He offers you rest. The baggage, the burdens, the traumas that you carry with you, he offers to take that from you and offers it freely and invites you into union with him. Let's pray and the team will come up. Lord, we thank you and we praise you because even though in our sinfulness, in our greatest of sinfulness, as we considered ourselves enemies from you because we have turned away from you, each and every one of us, while we were still sinners, your son Jesus died for us. And we remember that truth as we take communion this morning. May we humble ourselves and remember the example that Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, has set. And may we be encouraged to carry the burdens of our fellow brothers and sisters without shame, without guilt, without any strings attached, that we may be reminded how you've taken our burden. May we go and take the burdens off of our brothers and sisters. May we truly journey together, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.